The crew all season long on WTMJ. It's Brewers Extra Innings. Now, live from American Family Field, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
Man, you blink your eyes and all of a sudden it's a three-game winning streak. The Brewers on a little bit of a good tear here as they won their fifth game of this 10-game homestand in game number 8 of this stretch. Welcome in, everybody. A 5-3 victory on Brewers Extra Innings. I'm Dominic Catronio. Craig Kishon will be with us in just a little bit. Got the player of the game poll up on my Twitter at Dom_Catronio. Got Savali on there, got Piops on there, got Adames on there, and of course the write-in option. You can text it to 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. You can text in, you can call in, you can hang out with us. And not just the player of the game, Paul. I just want to open things up here right off the top before we jump into this game. This was a big topic on social media today. The Dodgers beat the Cardinals today, 7-6. So now the Brewers are up 10 games at the moment in the division. The big topic was a debate. The Brewers should be rooting for the Cardinals in that series because as long as the Brewers take care of business here, they'll maintain their lead over the Cardinals and they can try to bridge the gap between the number one or the number two seed. My take on it is I just feel like the Dodgers are bound for a run, and you do not have the season series against them. The Phillies, you still have a three-game series remaining with them, and I know you would need to sweep to be eligible for a tiebreaker. If they lose just one of those three games next month against the Phillies, they do not have the tiebreaker, and makes it a little bit harder to end up with the same record, of course, then the tiebreaker would go to the Phillies. But if you sweep them, the first tiebreaker, when there's not a head-to-head division, right, because it'll be 3-3 against each other, is your divisional record. The Brewers have one of the best divisional records in baseball, so they could win that tiebreaker. That's my reasoning why I think the focus should be on the Phillies, given you still are going to play them and you've already lost the Dodgers. But let me know what you think. 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. We'll talk about it all tonight, but the number one headline, the A1, the big bold letters above the fold, Aaron Civale shoved again. What a great development for him. A revenge game, if you will, for him against the team that drafted him, then traded him to the Rays, and then the Rays traded him here to the Brewers. Today, 6 shutout innings, just 4 singles, no runs, 1 walk, 4 strikeouts. The biggest stat, I think, that points out how well Civale pitched today. Only one leadoff hitter got on today in his 6 innings against him. That was the Josh Naylor single up the middle in the 4th inning. That's the only leadoff hitter that got on against Civale. And then he got to 3rd because of the double error on Adames. We'll talk about Adames, don't worry. But left him stranded. The Brewers did a great job. 0-for-3. There's two things that come with this. 0-for-3 with runners in scoring position for the Guardians. For one, obviously didn't allow them to get a hit. And number two, only 3 opportunities with runners in scoring position. Their runs came via home run. A 2-run shot from Jose Ramirez. He's a really darn good player. And a solo shot from former Brewer prospect David Fry. All in all, they never had sustained offense because these two teams match up so evenly. They win games the same style. If they hit homers, that's cool, but that's not necessarily what they rely on. Their bullpens are elite. They're a very contact-driven team. They're not going to strike out all that much. Well, you look at it, Cleveland struck out 9 times tonight, only walked twice. The Brewers, they struck out 10 times tonight, but walked 4 times. And of those 4 walks, 2 of them scored. That helps, 3 of them scored for the Brewers tonight. So that certainly helps them out to get the victory here tonight. So again, they're up 10 games in the division now. The Cardinals have company there 10 games back in the division. The Reds are also 10 games back. They're both 60-62. The Reds' winning streak was also snapped tonight to the Royals, 7-1. The Cubs won earlier today. They're 60-63 now, so they're 10.5 back. And then Pittsburgh, they finally broke their losing streak. They broke their 10-game losing streak as the Mariners are now in free fall. The Pirates won tonight, 57-64 for their record. Tonight also, Willy Adames got the scoring started in the bottom of the first inning. Another two-out run, another chance for the Brewers to add on late. They have the most runs scored with two outs in baseball this season. Another three-run shot for Adames, his 10th three-run homer of the season, and his 22nd home run. That's also a team leader for home run column for the Crew. For Adames, we'll talk about his defense, I promise, but to see him continue this extended period of very good play is exciting. He doesn't need to carry the world on his shoulders for the Brewers, which at times he has done in his time in a Brewers jersey. On the season now, he's hitting .252, which is well above league average. In fact, it's his best batting average with the Brewers since he first arrived in 2021. His OPS is up to .785, also the best it's been since his first year with the Crew. Now, 22 home runs in the season is not yet done. He had 31 2 years ago when he set the record passing Robin Yount. He's got a chance for another 30-double, 30-homer season on top of having a career-high 13 stolen bases on the season. And this extended stretch that I was talking about for Willie, here in August, he's hitting .283 but slugging over .600. And the stretch even goes back to the beginning of July in that Colorado series. It's funny how that happens, right? When you go back to Colorado, you tend to get your offense and feel a little bit better and getting a little bit more confidence at the plate. Remember, he had an abysmal month of June. He hit in the 100s in June. But since July 1st, he's hitting .301 with a .908 OPS. It's incredible, solid work from Willy Adames at this point. We'll break it all down here in just a little bit. 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. You can text in. You can call in. I'll get to those here in just a moment. Craig Kishon's going to join us too. Want to remind you that Brewers Extra Innings all season long is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank. With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses here in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities to help your business succeed. It's commercial banking value that only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. Back with more after this on WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Who's on the out-of-town scoreboard today? The White Sox came back to win. They held on to win. They defeat the Astros today, so they give the Mariners a gift. The Astros remain three games clear of the Mariners for the AL West crown. That game was down in Houston today. A couple of texts that have rolled in here talking about the potential for a bye and what they would rather have. This one, Danny on the east side, I'm cheering for the Cardinals. We can still catch both the Dodgers and the Phillies. This one, time to focus on getting a bye. The underdog team needs some help. The Brewers bullpen Friday and Saturday back in Los Angeles, it's going to cost them. Yeah, those were a couple of tough games. It wasn't totally on the bullpen, though. I think Freddie had a tough start in there as well. This one, I must respectfully disagree with your post on who we should root for in the Cardinals-Dodgers. It's a 10-game lead. The chances of the Brewers catching the Dodgers and or Phillies are way better than the chances of Cardinals catching the Brewers. Let's stop looking over our shoulder and concentrate on that first round bye. I like all of that to be saying the least. Craig Kishon's going to join us in just a moment here as well. Again, 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620 if you want to join us here on the program. Let's get to the phone lines here. Todd in Green Bay. Todd, you're live here on Brewers Extra Innings.
Hey, totally have to go for the number one seed. I mean, you have to tell me, when the last time the Brewers were ever a number one seed? Well, I'll tell you, zero. So they get the number one seed. They don't have to go through Philly and the Dodgers, right? That's very important. They don't have to go through the Philly or the Dodgers. And like that last Twitter guy said, exactly what I feel like. They have got to go for it. Dodgers, Philly, they still have tough. You look at their schedules, they have a lot, I think, a lot tougher. And the Brewers are, like you also said, they have the best division record against their division. So what do we worry about our division? And yeah, up 10 games, it's time for St. Louis to destroy them the next two games. They have to come to play before they come and play the Brewers. So I'm all in red the next 2 days.
I like it. I like the enthusiasm there, Todd. Todd, thanks for the call. I think when it comes to, first of all, I also want to correct Todd there real quick. Have the Brewers ever been a one seed? Yes, 2018, they were the one seed. They had the best record in the National League at 96-67. Of course, that's including game 163, but 95-67 still was the best record in the National League. So they were the one seed that season too. Of course, they swept the Rockies that year. And then in the CS, they only had to face the Dodgers. That's a good call by Todd, that only having to face one of those teams. And furthermore, let's also look ahead here, too. You would send one of those teams to the wild card round. And so the round that you're so used to these last couple of years and having to deal with that three-game series where anything can happen, where, you know, could you imagine a Phillies-Braves three-game set in Philly, a rematch of last year's NLDS? And all the chaos that that was with the Harper homer and the stare down of Arcia and Nick Castellanos touching the surface of the sun for a little while. So I can see it. I can get around it. Absolutely. I can hear the, hey, it's a 10-game lead, Dom. Let's forget about the Cardinals. But me, the guy that's never on stable ground when it comes to the St. Louis Cardinals, as somebody who disliked the Cardinals long before I moved to Milwaukee, I think it's just a little bit of scar tissue there that's built up. I think you can feel a little bit more comfortable there. I could see that. And at the same time, too, let's put no slouch on what the Guardians are doing here, that they're still going to be a quality opponent for the Brewers over these next 2 days to try to make sure you can win this series. You win one more game over these next two games. Not only do you win this series, but you have a winning homestand. You would go no worse than 6-4 here on the program or on the week as well, as the Brewers are now guaranteed not to have a losing homestand in this 10-game set. The Brewers get the victory by a 5-3 final. Craig Kishon is here, too. Craig, I mean, this is a game that, yes, it got tight a little bit late, but felt like it was always under control. And Savali is the center of the story for me. He's the reason why this game was under control.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He pitched an absolute gem, Dom. I mean, he was impressive tonight, I thought. I thought he had a different demeanor to him a little bit. You know, we talked a little bit on our post-game show on the TV side, just the fact that how long basically he's been here, when they acquired him in early July, if maybe, you know, maybe Chris Hook and company maybe thought, you know what, it may take a little bit, but we can get this guy kind of turned into a Milwaukee Brewer the way we think he can pitch here. And the fact that he's won two in a row is, you know, a testament to him wanting to be here and him, you know, being coachable here at this point, because you know that they've together worked on a lot of things. So I thought he was very much in control and shut down an extremely good lineup. There's no question about that. So He set the pace. There's no doubt about that.
This text from Josh in Milwaukee. Savali had one of his best starts as a Brewer, and we needed it. A couple of insurance runs came in handy as well, hoping Adames can rein in his defense soon. When it comes to Savali, he's not a swing and miss guy. We've known that about Savali. He's not a guy that's meant to even necessarily get weak contact, but at the same time, he was getting weak contact. No extra base hits allowed against him today. He pitched well with traffic. Again, I said it a moment ago, but only one leadoff man got aboard from him. He dealt with a couple of mini two-out rallies with no problem. For Savali, commanding the cutter, I thought, was the massive piece today, because that pitch on the season has sort of given him fits, and he's now in an organization that kind of specializes in having multiple fastballs and understanding what that pitch can do for you. The cutter is still his most used pitch of all of his offerings, and he throws a lot of offerings, Craig. But coming into the night, opponents were still slugging 420 against it. He's given up 14 extra base hits on it, but he added a few strikeouts on it, which is something that's very encouraging, because he doesn't have elite velo or even elite movement on it, but he uses the locations in the east and the west as the one pitch that really goes east and west for him. Everything else is very vertical. I thought Savali mixed that in very well, and throwing it in the zone was key, because there was nothing the Guardians could do. It was going to be a strike even if they took it.
Yeah, I mean, he was executing it, and he was aggressive, and he was on the attack. I mean, we hear that with some of these Brewer pitchers. We've, you know, heard it with Burns and Woodruff for such a long time. You know, Freddie, when I think, you know, he is, when he pitches his game, these are the things that good pitchers do. And Savali's come into his own here on that. I noticed the same thing with the cutter here tonight. And really all his pitches were working well. And, you know, he conquered some demons. You know, he has been struggling this year, second and third time through the order. We talked about that on our side as well. And you wouldn't have known it tonight. I mean, he made it through six, and that was all he really needed to do with his pitch count. And really did an overall nice job. I mean, like I said, if you got a starting pitcher out there who's locating and is on the attack, that's what this organization needs. That's what any pitcher wants to be. But Savali's proven that, you know, at least lately, last couple of starts, he's a new Brewer here right now.
Him to get back-to-back wins, I think it has to ooze confidence for him.
Yeah.
Get things going in the right direction. I know Bryce Wilson didn't have a great game, but from the bullpen perspective, don't lose sight of what Nick Mears and Yoel Piamps did tonight, because we knew Devin Williams wasn't going to be available. There was no way he was going to throw three in a row after the stress he had these last couple of days against the Dodgers and just coming back from injury. But now you can get sort of greedy and find a way to use him at least one more time over these next 2 days before an off day coming on Monday. And Nick Mears, holy cow. I'm not patting myself on the back here yet, Craig, but, you know, this is the guy that I was excited about, that to have both a fastball and a slider like that to just freeze big league hitters. Man, what a weapon. And he's not even closing the games, and he's maybe throwing the hardest in this bullpen right now until Trevor Megill comes back.
Well, you know, we were thinking along the line too, Dom, when he came in, all he needed was eight pitches to get those two outs to finish up that eighth inning and eliminate any more damage by the Guardians there. You know, without Williams available tonight, do you put Mears back out there? Or you talk about having the luxury the way Piamps has been going for the last, what, month, 6 weeks? I guess he did become the logical choice. But that, again, just goes to show you the luxury that they have right now, that these guys aren't just picking up each other. They're really doing their jobs out there and continue to serve huge roles, because you're right. If you have Devin Williams available either Saturday and or Sunday and the off day Monday, then you have him to start the road trip on Tuesday as well. So tremendous stuff. I mean, Mears was impressive. He's had a little bit up and downs and whatnot, but just to come in and be as efficient and effective as he was, to just tell the Guardians, you know what? Yes, you are a great comeback team. You're mounting a comeback right here, but not on my watch. I love that.
I'll give the numbers again for what Yoel Piamps has been doing as of late. This goes back to the middle of July when he started this really strong stretch. By the way, tonight was his sixth save of the season. He had four back in April when it was kind of rotating between him and Abner Uribe for who was going to be closing games. But again, this stretch, since July 12th against the Marlins is when he got this going in the right direction. Against the Nationals when he got this going in the right direction. He has now made 13 appearances, 12 innings pitched. He's only allowed two hits, two, in his last 12 innings. That's an .054 batting average. He's allowed only three walks, and he struck out 12. And talking to Charlie Green, talking to Jim Henderson, they all say the same thing. He's throwing strikes, and three walks in 12 innings tells you what you need to know. The dude's throwing strikes, and he's trusting his slider and fastball. Righties cannot see his fastball. He has been absolutely dominant and looking like the Yoel Piamps, and that you all of a sudden realize this spoil of riches the Brewers have when Trevor Megill comes back, that you can have Yoel in the sixth or seventh inning, and he's not even considered the best reliever in this bullpen.
You know, the funny thing about, you know, what we're talking about here too, Dom, is There was a time not long ago in this season where you worried a little bit when you saw these relievers. Well, and Piamps went through kind of a midseason slump as well a little bit. You talk about all the numbers that he's picked up since then. But just wondering, you know, with kind of one by one with these guys going on the injured list, and thankfully it really hasn't been severe. And then knowing that you were going to get Devin Williams back at some point, and hoping, obviously, he was going to be as good as he has been, all-star caliber, and he certainly has. This is tremendous right now. This team is strong and is going to get stronger here before it's done, and they have a 10-game lead in their division, and they continue to put pressure on the other top two teams right now in the National League, the Dodgers and Phillies, saying we're certainly not out of this yet. We're not going to settle for third, anything along that line. So what we're seeing out of the bullpen is only going to, make this postseason run when needed. If you don't have to use a starting pitcher, or something happens, after three or four innings or whatever, these guys can pick you up, especially if you have the lead. You feel so good. It really is pretty amazing to watch this thing develop, because it's still developing and it's nothing but positive right now.
It's been incredible to watch here for the Brewers. We'll talk a little bit about Willy Adames, give the offense some love, also talk about what is ahead for the Crew. They're up by 10 games in the division. They're still 2 games back of a bye. Brewers extra innings rolls on. The phone number is 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. You can call in, you can text in, come hang out with us here for a little bit longer here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers extra innings. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers respond to a 3-game losing streak with a 3-game winning streak. How about it? Positive momentum. Brewers win 5-3 over the Guardians, game one of a 3-game set. I'm Dominic Catronio. Craig Sean's with us, too. This text from Tom in South Dakota. This team's got a knack after every third loss in a row thus far, turning the following few games into positive momentum rather than just wallowing in it. Again, they're still the only team in baseball not to have a 4-game losing streak. And some good reporting here from Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's J.R. Radcliffe. His research: when the Brewers lose 3 games in a row, their following few games. So on April 17th, Craig, they won 4 in a row. On April 30th, after losing 3 in a row, they won 3 in a row. Then they won 4 of 5 in May. They won 3 of 4 in June. They won 5 straight in late June. They won 2 of next 3. That was in July. That was their tough stretch heading into the All-Star break. Then they won 5 of 6 in July, and now they've won 3 in a row. That sounds pretty relentless to me. This team has that ability to just, move on. No long losses, no big slumps. The only slump this team's really had was right before the All-Star break.
It is pretty amazing what they've been able to do here. And I think it's the interesting thing about it, Dom, is we all talk about the state of the team all the time. We all know how injured they were, how, during the offseason they made the trade and Burns departed. They've weathered storms here this year. They've had injuries. They waited for key guys to come back. They just lost Christian Yelich. And I'm not sure if these guys are aware of how important we as broadcasters think that is, or how fans in the importance that they – I don't think the players know about it or care about it. And I think that's kind of the bottom line. They're the ones playing the game, and they're the ones that are in that clubhouse doing their thing. None of us have anything to do with that. And I think the great part is they always come in positive. They've never dragged their heads. I'm not sure they're aware of anything, but just the fact that they know they're coming in to play a baseball game. And I'm pretty sure about this too. They know they're good. They're not cocky about it or overconfident. They know they're a good team. They know where they stand. And they enjoy playing this game right now. They truly enjoy it.
The Brewers' offense had a really good night, really front-loaded. 5 runs is usually going to be enough to win a game, and it was tonight. Willy Adames was the big swing in the first inning, his 22nd home run of the season. Another set of 2-out runs for the Crew. We talk about their situational hitting and how much they've struggled with like a man on second and nobody out, or a man on third and less than 2 outs, because that situation showed its ugly head again today when Churio was thrown out in a rundown on the contact play in the first, but all was not lost after the 3-run home run. It's just they have to get 2 outs to be able to score. For Willie, though, I talked about it. Since the start of July, he's hitting over 300. He's got an over 900 OPS since the start of July. If this dude's this version of himself for the final, you know, 38 games or so, whew, look out to the rest of the league and what he can do as a playoff experience. Suddenly now, one of the most experienced playoff players the Brewers have.
Yeah, and, you know, Willie's just got this thing about him too, Dom. We all know this, that, you know, when the game's on the line, we know about his clutch hitting late in games. And obviously with guys on base here too, the three-run home runs, the 10 that he's got this year, he just knows when to come up big. And those are really special players. Can he come up big every single time? No. But think about this. The run, the out on the bases the Brewers made, again, like over at third base, what happened at Churio today, the fact that they were still able to play three runs after that happened, a lot of times when they make those outs on the bases, they just can't score. It just eliminates their opportunity to score in that particular inning. But you get a guy like Willie up there and knowing what the situation is, and I'm sure, you know, he's a guy too. He knows who the competition is on the other side. It's been a big week for the Brewers hosting these two kind of powerhouses, if you will, in Major League Baseball with the Dodgers and Guardians. So I think a lot of that just goes into a guy that's been around, likes to compete and, you know, wants to perform and has a goal of winning a championship. And I think that he knows this is pretty special team to have an opportunity to do that.
One of the things I think could have slipped under the radar tonight is Garrett Mitchell breaking an 0-for-21 today and seeing a ton of pitches. I thought yesterday the walk he drew to keep the rally alive in the eighth inning unlocked something for him because he saw a ton of pitches in that at-bat. He fell behind 1-2 before ultimately drawing that walk with a man on second base and got on base, ended up scoring what ended up being the go-ahead run for the Crew. And then tonight, an RBI single, an RBI double, a line shot to right. He got robbed on a line-out double play at first. He also had a 9-pitch walk later in the game. For him seeing pitches, and in fact, he didn't swing and miss once today. I know he was struck out looking in the first, but Garrett Mitchell trying to break out of this funk that he's in right now because the Brewers are auditioning that three-hole. He was hot when he got first put in that three-hole against Atlanta. Today he was batting sixth. I wonder if he'll get another opportunity at that tomorrow or Sunday because without Yelly and without Perkins, Garrett Mitchell is going to have a very long leash because, quite frankly, they need him and they also like to see him hit the ball, not just play defense.
Well, exactly. And the more he's on the bases, too, the more confident he's gonna get. I mean, he had the walk and the stolen base in the eighth inning. That capped off his night at the plate after, his RBI double earlier in the game. But I like the way he's striking the ball here right now, too. This is what is in his makeup. This is what we should be seeing here right now. And it's really important for this team to, as you mentioned, Dom, find that somebody who can consistently fill that number three hole the way you want that number three hole to be filled up. I mean, it's the top of the order. It's still a little surprising to me that Tyler Black continues to get these opportunities up there. Now today, you know, he got on a fielder's choice in that first inning and scored on the home run by Adames. And then he did have the single in the third going the other way, which was great, and end up scoring his second run of the game as well. So, you know, everybody needs a confidence boost here right now, but they've got to bring it, and they've got to find a way to get it on their own. Nobody's going to hit for these guys, and they're experiencing a lot here right now. They're young, we get it, but you know, I'm curious to know your thoughts on this too, Dom, because I'm thinking along the line with Yelich now for sure being out for the rest of the season, rather than, well, he's here, but he's injured, but we also don't know how things are going for him. And I'm talking about if you're a teammate of his in the dugout the last couple of weeks, you know, he's not able to do much physically. How is he doing? Am I going to keep getting a chance? Is he going to come back if I'm hot? I mean, a lot of things can go through a young guy's mind. I'm just curious to know if these guys might actually feel a little bit of relief knowing what the finality is, I should say, to this injury decision for him. And now it is going to be up to them. It is going to be their opportunity, these young guys, to do the job now, because he is not coming back. It's their club now for the rest of the way.
Yeah, I think there is something to that, Craig. I think that's a really good call when it comes to the young outfielders. Sal made a great play tonight as well to end the game. And Perkins will be back. In fact, Pat Murphy offered an update that they're hoping, knock on wood, that he wouldn't need a rehab assignment and come straight back not much longer than the minimum time on the IL. Real quick before I let you go, the Willy Adames defense thing right now, this is alarming, but I don't want to like panic, but I feel like there's enough wiggle room and enough of a sample size to say this is a slump, and defense, just like hitting and just like pitching, is susceptible to slumps. And I don't want to overreact, but 11 errors in 30-something games here for Willie, two of them on the same play tonight. It looks like a guy to me that, I mean, I saw him, I'm kind of overstepping here. He dove for a ball tonight. I mean this respectfully. He doesn't dive for baseballs. He just doesn't, especially so close to free agency. You don't want to get stuck. You don't want to hurt a shoulder or something like that. He doesn't dive for baseballs. He dove for a ball tonight. And I think it tells you it's wearing on him a little bit. He's trying to make them all up at once, but it just, the game's got to meet you halfway, right?
Yeah, and you know what? He's not played in a string of games like this before either, so none of us can say if he's tired. None of us can say if this is a mentally draining thing to be out there defensively every single day. It's easy for us to say, but he's the one that's going through it here right now. And if he's going through a defensive slump, the good part about it, Dom, I think, is obviously it hasn't affected his bat. So many times we say when a guy's can't hit right now, but he's playing great defense, at least it's not affecting that. He's a great player. He'll figure it out somehow. Someone will get in his head. Someone will sit him down. Someone will give him some advice. If you're gonna boot a ball like he did tonight, you can't be rolling it around the infield hoping something's gonna happen. You just got to eat it and keep the runners where they are. You know, whatever the case may be, that's what happened tonight. But he's going through something here right now. But hopefully, obviously, he's gonna straighten it out here soon.
All right, Craig Kishon joining us here on WTMJ. We'll talk to you again on Sunday, as you have the day off tomorrow with it being a Fox telecast with our friends over there with Jeff Levering and AJ Pierzynski. So enjoy the day. We'll talk to you on Sunday.
All right, sounds good, Dom. Thanks.
All right, Craig Kishon on WTMJ. Well, a quick look around the out-of-town scoreboard coming up next here from Pat Murphy, and then highlights a little bit later as well here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you in part by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Right now, for this month only, Sider is waiving their $99 trip fee for HVAC service calls. Visit Sider.com to schedule an appointment before it's too late. That's Sider, Sider.com. Couple of texts. Aaron in Illinois, player of the game has to be Savali. Tough lineup he faced. Difference-making moment was 3-run home run from Willy Adames. Who assumes the leadership role on this team? Is it Willy? Is it William? Is it Reese? And is Yelly still going to be around the team? Clubhouse travel. Also good news on McGill. And one last thing, why is the matchup on Sunday not the Sunday night game? Part of the reason it's not is because this weekend is the opening of the Little League World Series. ESPN likes to hold the Little League Classic there in Williamsport, give a chance for the Little League World Series to coincide with Major League Baseball. So it is Detroit and New York playing in Williamsport. It's like one of those made for what they call diamond events for Major League Baseball. So that's why it's not Sunday Night Baseball, because I think any other week this would have been the Sunday Night Baseball matchup. The Brewers will not be on Sunday night this year. Mike in Colorado. Brewers still have 6 games left with St. Louis. 10 games up or not, I'd rather the Cards get swept, even if it's by the Dodgers. I do not want the Cardinals to have any hope of winning the division, let alone playing in October. The Brewers just need to control their own destiny and keep on winning. The rest of the NL will take care of itself. So speaking of the NL, we talked about how hot the Padres and the Diamondbacks have been. They finally both lost a game. The Diamondbacks were walked off on by the Rays tonight in a wacky game that Corbin Carroll tied the game when the Diamondbacks were down to their final strike in the top of the ninth, and then the Rays won it in the bottom of the ninth, 5-4, and the Rockies beat up on the Padres 7-3, so they finally cool off and give a little bit of space for the Dodgers out west. It's a three-game lead now for L.A., and then the Phillies also won tonight on a walk-off by Trey Turner to defeat the Nationals. So they're still up 7.5 games in the East. As for the wild card standings right now, it's still Arizona and San Diego. And a reminder, those two teams won't meet each other head-to-head until the last three games of the season in Arizona. That is going to be awesome theater to watch. Atlanta is still holding the third wild card spot right now. They lost tonight. They're losing tonight, I should say, to the Angels 3-2, and with a loss, it'll move the Mets to only one game back, as New York defeated Miami tonight by a 7-3 score. San Francisco, they also lost tonight, as I'm pulling up their score. Or I'm sorry, San Francisco was idle tonight, as they drop a half game if Atlanta wins, and they drop a half game from the Mets with their win. San Francisco gets ready for a two-game set with the Oakland A's. It's the final Bay Bridge series at the Coliseum ever. It's wild. It's sad. It's unfortunate. And we'll talk about that more next week as well. It's very clear, whoever's second in the Central, barring some miracle, is not going to be in the playoffs. And I can get behind what Mike was saying. It's like, hey, just cut the head off the snake while you have the opportunity and then focus on what you can focus on. The Brewers up by 10 games here in August. They had to wait until August 31st to be up by double digits in 2021. They were never up by double digits at any point last season in their division crown. So some of that is pretty good. The Brewers, this text from Doug: it's nice having three outfielders who could be track stars. Would love to see them run a relay. They really showed it off tonight. Up next, you'll hear from the manager, Pat Murphy. Highlights a little bit later on as well. Brewers win by a 5-3 final in Game 1 over the Guardians here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back. I'm Dom Catronio. Brewers win. They've got 5 of 8 wins on this homestand. Another win. It's a winning homestand and another series victory. Haven't lost a series in this three-game set. Off day Monday, on to St. Louis Tuesday through Thursday, and then to the Coliseum one final time in Oakland Friday through Sunday of next week, and then another off day to follow that to come back home for just a quick three-game set with the Giants. Pat Murphy was in a good mood post-game. They win 5-3. Here's the skipper.
You know, he's ahead in the count for one, and that cutter at the top has been really good for him. He's been poised as all get out. And when you're throwing the ball where you want to, that gives you a shot. It's a really good, really, really good ball club. We know that. And to give us six, what do you give us, six shutout?
Murph, is it a large enough sample to say maybe there's something to him enjoying pitching here? His starts here solid. All.
Yeah, I kind of don't go for that stuff, but you know, I get it. You know, like you get comfortable in a spot, I guess. But I think every guy that got here as a major league pitcher, I think they understand that's not a thing. But we have the tendency. I do the same thing with stuff like that. No, I think he's just been really, really solid. I told you guys, I love this kid, man. He's prepared as all get out, and he holds himself accountable. And, yeah, when I had a rough start or two rough starts, he took on the accountability, you know.
Murph, how much?
You don't just say this stuff. You got to
live it.
Was there more?
Yeah, there's more if you want. All right, might be hard sometimes. But you got to do it.
Murph, how much has his mix going seven pitches deep, how much has that helped tonight and that last start too? What are you seeing from like just the difficulty of that at bat?
Who's that?
Savali.
What do you mean seven pitches
he's
deep?
He's throwing seven different pitches like that.
He manipulates the fastball, you know what I mean? That's the key when I hit, you know. you talk to hitters about pitchers that manipulate the fastball and it goes each way. And yeah, he mixes well, but it all comes off fastball. You know what I mean? Like, and then be able to throw it where you want to. So he's got things on this side of the plate that come into you and come back. And then he's got things on this side of the plate that go back door and sink off. And he's got stuff at the top, you know. And he's getting the ball down better when he needs to. So he has that option. So, yeah, I think he's been terrific. Big lift today. Big lift. Mears was very good. Payam's very good. Wilson has been good. Peguero was very good. Wilson's been great for us all year and takes the ball every time we ask. That was a rough one. Give up a blooper and two hard contacts to two really good hitters. We're all familiar with Fry, obviously. Fry Cook, as I used to call him in the minor leagues. It was a SpongeBob term. You know, SpongeBob was originally a Fry Cook. You know what I mean? That's what they called it. Well, it's like a cook that works like, what is it, like burgers and, you know, in the frying pan, you know? So SpongeBob was a Fry Cook. So whenever I see Fry, I call him Fry. I call him Fry Cook.
These last three games for Bryce here, almost every batted ball for him has either been up the middle to left field. Are those just the kind of swings that you want to see from him, and does that kind of indicate that he's getting to a good spot?
Yeah, he is. I mean, he's such a great baseball player, a great competitor, understands the game. And when he goes through little dips where he doesn't get results, he's fighting himself like every other young player. But he understands where his flight plan is. You know what I mean? Like, these are the balls I have to hit. When I'm rolling over to second or hitting fly balls up, you know, too high, nah, it's not me. You know, and that particular bat, the base hit up the middle, was, it's just like he scripted it. You know what I mean? He talked about it, you know, like, hey, lay off high fastball. This guy's going to throw me something soft in the middle, and I'm going to be able to get through it.
I did not have Pat Murphy referring to SpongeBob on my bingo card after today's victory, but nonetheless, here we are. Highlights coming up next from a Brewers victory 5-3 on WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Barry.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get out of here! Go!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Dominic Catronio.
Brewers and Guardians, two first-place teams in the Central, one in the American League and one in the National League. Aaron Civale going up against Gavin Williams in this one, and the tone was set right off the bat. Just the second batter of the game tried to sneak a bunt by Joey Ortiz.
Bunt in third base side. This is going to be a tough play. Hey, got him. Whoa. Another dandy turned in by Joey Ortiz.
Bare hand beauty. That was an awesome play from Tito to start the game, as called by Mr. Baseball Bob Uecker. So the Brewers take that momentum into the bottom of the first inning. Churio would hit a one-out double, but he would be thrown out on the bases after Tyler Black hit a comebacker. So a man on first and two outs. Seems like no rally, right? Well, Contreras was hit by a pitch on the eighth pitch of his battle. And then with an 0-1 count, Willy Adames almost hit the truck.
Now the pitch. Willy to right center and deep. Get up! Get up! Get out of here! Way gone for Willy Adames. And the Brewers lead the Guardians 3-0 here in the opening inning.
It was his second longest homer of the year, 431 feet away. It hit the truck on a bounce. Nobody's going home with a free Tacoma. So the Brewers out in front 3-0. Civale was rolling through a first couple of innings of work as well. The Brewers got back on the board in the third, a one-out single by Tyler Black. Contreras drew a walk, and they can only seem to score with two outs and two strikes. Garrett Mitchell needed it to snap out of a slump.
0-2 pitch. Ground ball, base hit right field. That'll get him off the schneid as Black will score. Contreras on his way to third. The throw to second is late. It's an RBI double for Garrett Mitchell.
Jeff Levering's call as Garrett snapped an 0-for-21 with that RBI double. More extra base hits in the fourth inning. A one-out triple by Joey Ortiz to right. Two triples in the game for the crew. Then the top of the order, another two-strike hit from Bryce Terang.
Here's the payoff. Line back up the middle, base hit. Terang stuck on that curveball perfectly, and he makes it 5-0 Brewers.
Unfortunately, that would be the last hit of the night for the Brewers. They would have a couple of walks, but they're leading 5-0. Savali was lifted after six strong frames in shutout fashion. Elvis Peguero had a zero in the seventh inning, but then Bryce Wilson gave up two homers in the eighth. It forced Nick Mears to come in. He would strike out both batters he faced in the eighth, and with no Devin Williams available tonight, they handed the ball to Yoel Piamps. He struck out Schneeman. He got Naylor to fly out, and then the game started with some great defense. Might as well end it with some great defense.
The pitch. Broken bat into right center, and going to be caught. Sal Frelick wide open, running to the gap in right center. Pulled that one down as he got to the warning track, and the Brewers take game one.
How about it? The Brewers win. It's their fifth win on this homestand and a chance for the series win over these next two games. And the division lead is up to 10 games. We'll give you tomorrow's schedule after this on 620 WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
All right, let's wrap things up here. This last text from Ringo in Goodman. How many teams are left that have never lost four in a row this season? Just this one. That's it. Really. The Brewers are the only team that have not lost four games in a row in baseball. Pretty impressive stuff. Tomorrow, 6:15 first pitch, and if you're somebody who syncs up your television, the game is on Fox. Again, the game is on Fox tomorrow, but we've got you here on WTMJ as well. Tanner Bibee, one of the Guardians' best, will be going up against Freddie Peralta. Again, a 6:15 first pitch. I'll be on the air at 5 o'clock with Brewers warm-up. Back to normal on Sunday, 1:10 first pitch. We are on the air at noon, and that'll close out this 13-in-a-row stretch for the crew. And, oh, by the way, all the doom and gloom and all the panic and everyone's, oh, they're playing so bad in the second half. What's up with that? Really, how bad do you think they've been? Think about this for a second. What do you think their record is in 25 games in the second half if it's been so bad? Well, they're now 15-10. If you multiply that out over 25 games, you know, you do that six times, that's 150 games. That's 90 wins right there. So the Brewers are on a great pace, to say the least, winning plenty of games at this point in the year. They have control of the Central. It is very clear the Central runs through Milwaukee, and now they are trying to chase down the two seed that either belongs to the Dodgers or the Phillies. We'll be back with you tomorrow. Thank you to everybody who's listened. Also, real quick note, a rating, a review, those help way more than you realize here on the podcast feed. If you're listening on Brewers All Access, it helps a lot more than you realize, especially with postseason right around the corner, maybe some folks listening to us for the first time. Tell your friends. You can listen to it live, or you can find us here on Brewers All Access on WTMJ.com. My thanks to our producer, Max Meyerson. I'm Dominic Catronio. Talk to you tomorrow. Brewers win 5-3. And until next time, keep on swinging.